Om Jnanadhimadannasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
And now you may have that stuck in your head forever. Nariya Nagari Nite Neche Neche Gaire. And that's the great secret to book distribution, is to get these divine songs stuck in your head so you just feel happy all the time for no reason. And then you dance out the door, and then you dance up to people, and you just, with a song in your heart, you hand over the most precious of all the objects in this whole world, which are the divine shastras, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. There's nothing more valuable in this world. No commodity that could be more desirable to anybody on this entire planet and the whole universal system than these books. And once we have deep appreciation for them, then people will see in our eyes and the way that we're holding them when we distribute them, that these are precious gems that they can take along with them and also become happy themselves. This is a poem written by Sriman Kushakrata Prabhu. Did anybody know Kushakrata? Yeah? He was a disciple of Prabhupada who was a Sanskrit scholar. In fact, he didn't like to do anything else except translate Sanskrit poetry. So he'd usually spend all day in his room translating verses and writing original ones too. This is one of the original verses that he wrote. Seeing the fierce army of illusions put forward by the forces of Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada has released an unlimited shower of powerful arrows in the form of his books. Isn't that a beautiful poem? Look, this is for Pune, 2016. Pune Yatra Ki Jai. It's just for you. Here's our legacy. Who knows what legacy means? Yes. Which is coming from the ages? Nice. Anyone else? Legacy. Which come from one generation to the next. Yes. Yeah, and it's amazing how time passes by and legacies get passed along from one person to the next. And we're in the process always of passing that on to the next generation because it's always in flux. We're always moving. So a sampradaya actually means to give the complete gift. It means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's the friend of the poor, Lord and Master of the devotees, is always thinking about the welfare of every living entity, and he gives the gift of divine knowledge to Brahma. Brahma passes it on to Narada, Narada to Vyas, and it comes down even to the present age. And so our business, really, our legacy is gift-giving. Isn't that a nice occupation? We're givers. And preaching means to give. It means to have something valuable to pass on to people. It started in our era, in the Chaitanya era, with Sri Advaita Acharya, who had so much compassion in his heart for the fallen souls that he was praying for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to the world. He wanted the Supreme Lord to come and intervene in the lives of the misdirected civilization. And so he had a really beautiful technique, didn't he? He discovered in a shastra that by offering Ganges water and Tulsi leaves to the Lord, that the Lord becomes purchased. It's a good secret to know, isn't it? And with loud cries, he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to please descend. So if you want to change your life, this is how to do it. You get some Ganges water and some Tulsi leaves, and you make loud prayers to the Lord. Call out and ask him to come. Every day when we chant the japa, this is an opportunity. You can bring in your mind and heart and meditation some Ganges water and Tulsi leaves, And then you can cry out to the Lord, please engage me in your service. Please empower me to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. Everyone, please say that. Please empower me to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. So what happened when Advaita Acharya prayed? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadvip. That place is there. You can go and visit in Sri Navadvip Dham, that yoga peat, the place where the Lord appears, makes himself known to the world. He's born under the neem tree. The cutting from that tree has still produced another tree that's there. And from that epicenter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started the Sankirtan movement. And here it is, 500 years ago. He had a very simple system. There's not a lot of details to our movement when we're talking about the structure. There's two parts. One part is chant Hare Krishna. Second part is teach others. Okay, so part one is? Part two? Part one? Part two? Part one? Part two? Part one, part one, part one, part two, part two. It's very simple. Part one and part two. Chant Hare Krishna and teach others how to do it. So these two parts were there because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught everyone to chant Hare Krishna, but then he also said, go out and teach everybody else how to do it. Didn't he say that? Who can prove it? Where did he say it? What's that? Janma sartak kari para upakar. Do good for others. Do this welfare work. Go out and teach everybody else. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, they opened a marketplace for the holy name. So marketing is a science. It's got quantitative reasoning skills, qualitative reasoning skills. You really have to think about who you're marketing to. Find out your marketing niche. For instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a certain kind of branding. You know about branding and marketing? What was his branding? As a sannyasi, right? He put on sannyas dress just to brand himself in a different way so he could go present it to the people who before had disrespected him, and now they saw, oh, sannyasi, so they offered obeisances. And they thought about how to drown everybody in the world with this process of Krishna consciousness. That was their great satisfaction, to see that everyone was floating away in the chanting of Hare Krishna. So this is a great occupation to get into this kind of marketing. If anybody asks you what you do, just tell them you're in marketing. What's your profession? What do you say? I'm in marketing. I'm part of we market the holy name. That's what Mahaprabhu was doing. And it's a big market too, because they said every town and village in the world. And here we have a picture of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing down the street of Miami, Florida. But that's not too anachronistic, because actually it's happening now. Before, actually, we heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this edict, and he said, spread it all over the world, and he said, my name would be heard in every village. And even devotees, Vaishnavas in India, thought, well, he probably just meant every village in India, but even that seems impossible. Who could have thought that it would have actually gone across the ocean and gone to every town and village in the world? I mean, it's gone to some pretty obscure places in the world now, the chanting of Hare Krishna. You'll find Vaishnavas and temples in some amazing places, won't we? Like where? Where have you heard that Hare Krishna is being chanted, where devotees are living, that surprised you? Name three places. China. Pakistan. That's very amazing. What'd you say, Navina? Mongolia. China, Pakistan, and Mongolia. Where else? Brazil. Nepal. Saudi Arabia. Salam alaikum. Alaikum salam. Madhava kifelak. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. And Hare Krishna. Yeah, it's happening. Actually, no one can stop it, because the holy name has his own agenda, and he goes everywhere in the world. In fact, Rupa Goswami said, Vacham Vachakam Ityudeti Bhavato Dvanta Vibhavo. He said that the holy name and Krishna are non-different, but then he says in the next word, they are different. Because he said the holy name's even more merciful than Krishna, because even when somebody's forsaken Krishna, the holy name will pursue that person. And then when the person chants Hare Krishna, then he becomes ecstatic and all his offenses go away and he becomes reconnected with Krishna. So the holy name's more merciful than Krishna, which is interesting because they're the same. But the holy name is special. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is open to everybody, and it's a huge field that everyone can join in on. So after Mahaprabhu, the movement became hidden. That happens in the material world. Krishna told Uddhava that the sampradaya always has to be refreshed, because by the influence of material time and the modes of nature, it becomes distorted and lost. So the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became lost for some time. Not lost, but hidden. There were no copies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even available when Bhaktivinoda Thakur made his appearance as the great Acharya. And of course, he studied all the world religions. He was amongst the intelligentsia in Bengal, which was the seat of learning at the time. And after he came across the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he emerged as the great Acharya and began to spread the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So he renewed the marketplace in 1891 that Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya had opened. And at Sarabi Kunj, he declared that marketplace now opened. You know, he made a marketing scheme to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna all over India. And it was like Amway. Everyone could be empowered. Any Amway agents in here? You know what Amway is? Yes or yes? You've heard of it, right? Do you have it in India? Yeah, this is the original Amway. Only it was the holy name. And they would have home parties where people could come together and they could purchase the holy name for a small bit of faith. And then they'd set them up as agents. And then they could also market it to others. And this way, it was a large multi-level marketing scheme. And this was opened by Bhaktivinoda Thakur at Sarabi Kunj, that holy place where you can go still. You just go right across the Jalungi River. It only takes you 2 seconds to go across on a boat. You can walk up the hill and you can roll in the dust on the doorstep of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, where he wrote his books, where he saw the temple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where people would come from all over the world. He envisioned all these things because he's a great Acharya. So that marketplace started there. And of course, he got this help. He prayed that, please let a great soul appear in my family to help me spread this movement all over the world. And who appeared? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then he also predicted that a great personality would soon appear who would spread it all over the world. Who might that be? Yes, Srila Prabhupada. And then at the time, the Shudanam was going on. These great souls, Srila Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, keeping the holy name and the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu alive. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that veritable ray of Vishnu, came out with the marketplace and made it available all over India. And then he sent excursions to Burma and also to England. And when A.C. Bhaktivedanta, soon to become Swami Prabhupada, met his spiritual master in Sri Radhakund, he asked him, what should I do? What should my service be? He Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, told him, if you ever get money, print books. What did he say? If you ever get money? Yeah, the print books. Because they had built, that is, the Gaudiya Math under Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, had built a large flagship temple in Bug Bazar in Calcutta. And then after the temple got built, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta noticed that the devotees' consciousness was changing. Some of the devotees were fighting over who got which room, who had priority. And his mood was, and he taught this to Srila Prabhupada, that better we take the marble from the temple and sell it to print some books. That was the mood that he passed on to him. So Prabhupada said, when I came to America, I didn't build temples, but I tried to distribute books, print and distribute books whenever I could. And I mentioned earlier today how the first property in ISKCON was purchased because Prabhupada wanted to start a printing press. He actually purchased a printing press. And he sent out, before he did, about 6 devotees in New York City to go learn how to print books. They apprenticed at various large printing places in New York City. And so when they purchased their first property on Beacon Street in Boston, then Prabhupada immediately moved the printing press into the building. And he brought all the devotees who had learned how to print. And then he brought all the artists in ISKCON to that place. And he wanted to produce books from there. And he went immediately and he visited that printing press. And when he saw it, he said, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotarastha Shishiman Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. And he said that this is my heart. And he should always keep it very clean. So Prabhupada said, I took this up from his mouth, that he is very fond of books. And when Prabhupada came to America, we know that he brought with him about 200 copies of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Who's seen these original books? Anybody? Naveen has seen them? Yeah, there's some of them still around. I talked to Brahmananda Prabhu before he left. I was interviewing him like weeks before he left this world, and he was telling me all kinds of interesting things because he was there in the very beginning with Prabhupada. I always wondered where Prabhupada kept those books because he came by himself and he had trunks full of books that were loaded on the ship Jaladuta. And I found out that they were actually stored by the Skindia Steamship Company in New York. They had a storage locker there and they kept those books for Prabhupada until he was able to take them out of storage. So when Gargamuni and Brahmananda joined Prabhupada, Prabhupada had them bring the books over. And then he had them tie them up with string because they were 3 volumes of the first canto. And some of them were missing because Prabhupada had already distributed some. And when Prabhupada was in India, before he came to America, he was going around selling these books in various places. One of the places he sold them was at the Library of Congress. And the Library of Congress is stationed in Washington, D.C. in America, but they have satellite branches around the world. One of them is in New Delhi. And he sold 16 sets of his first canto to the New Delhi branch there in at the Library of Congress. And from the Library of Congress in New Delhi, one of those sets of the Bhagavatam was sent to New York City and was in the New York Public Library a year before Prabhupada arrived on the Jaladuta. So his books came to America 1 year before Prabhupada arrived here. At least one set. And Brahmananda told me that Prabhupada used to go and visit those books. He was all alone at the time. But Prabhupada revealed this to Brahmananda. He said he would take 3 bus transfers to go up to the New York Public Library, and he would go in the library and just visit his books. And Brahmananda said that was Prabhupada's entertainment, to see how his books had reached America. And here's a pamphlet that Prabhupada put together to market his books. So he writes on this pamphlet, 60 volumes of elaborate English version. One interesting thing is, right now, he only has 3 books. The first canto of Bhagavatam in 3 volumes. But here he's advertising 60, right? That's his vision. Then he also says, all over the world for scientific knowledge of God. Meanwhile, Prabhupada's all by himself. He has no money, no connections, but he's saying all over the world. So this is how boldly a person who is engaged in the Sankirtan movement may think. Because we should understand that we're backed by the universal guru, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's nobody better than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nobody more compassionate, nobody who's all-powerful like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And anybody who joins Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in trying to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world and prays for his help will be empowered to spread Sankirtan movement as much as they like. Prabhupada said, here's our plan. By printing books, we can actually inject our movement into the masses of people all over the world. And in 1975, this is when he spoke these words, print as many books. Everyone say it together. Yeah. You know, this happened in 1975. Prabhupada was on the Vyasasan in Los Angeles, California. And another devotee who was very key in starting book distribution in America, which spread all over the world, was named Rameshwar Prabhu. He became a confidant of Prabhupada's, working in the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust as a trustee. And Prabhupada was working tirelessly to print his books. And many of the books, like the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, were sitting and were not getting published yet because it takes a while to publish a book. I know it took me a long time to get my book out. It's a painstaking process. There's a lot of different parts you'd never even think about. And the devotees in Los had moved from New York. The BBT moved from New York to Los Angeles to give more facility. And all the best people came there. And they got all the most modern equipment. And then they felt ready to print about one book every 2 months, which was a very fast pace. Prabhupada said he was coming to Los Angeles. And he also called all the GBCs from all over the world. And they said, come to Los Angeles immediately. So they dropped everything. They came to Los Angeles. And Prabhupada had a message to deliver at that time. So it was on a morning walk at Venice Beach, which is in Los Angeles. And all the GBCs were walking. And Rameshwar, who I mentioned already before, along with his colleague at the BBT, whose name is Radhabalava. And Prabhupada then began to talk about how he wanted his Chaitanya Charitamrita to come out as soon as possible. And he asked how quickly they could do it. And Rameshwar, being very happy that he had all modern equipment now, said, Prabhupada, we can do one book every 2 months. And Prabhupada then stopped and he said, I want all 17 books, because there's also the fifth canto in arrears, all of them in 2 months. And Rameshwar said a very reasonable thing. He said, but Prabhupada, that's impossible, because it was. And then Prabhupada looked at him and he said, impossible is a word used only in a fool's dictionary. And then he walked on. And of course, Rameshwar told me that all his godbrothers were there, the GBCs and sannyasis, and they all looked at him when Prabhupada gave that order, and he said, they had a look in their eye which was, I'm glad I'm not you right now. Rameshwar and Radhabalava dropped back from the morning walk, and Prabhupada walked on. And Rameshwar then said, I realized that I had no choice. I had to follow the order of my spiritual master. And as soon as he accepted the order and he said, I have to do it, I have to figure out a way to do it, immediately intelligence started coming into his mind about how he might do it. And he told me that he and Radhabalava began an animated conversation. He said if anybody saw them talking about their ideas about how they would print all these books in 2 months, they would have thought that they were insane, the way they looked. They were so animated. And they finally caught up to the party that Prabhupada was walking with and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we'll do it. But we need some concessions. And they asked for some concessions so they could hurry up the process. Some of those were about the artwork, which took a long time for Prabhupada to approve. But they did it. And actually, the whole Los Angeles community turned into a marathon of printing books over 2 months. Everyone stopped doing any other service and only concentrated on this. Artists would stay up all night painting, and when they would fall asleep, another artist would take over on the easel and keep painting. And they finished all of them within the 2 months in 1 day. And Prabhupada wrote them a letter of congratulations and said, by this work, all of you will go home back to Godhead. And then he said, by the way, you're 1 day late. But in the era when Srila Prabhupada was pushing the Sankirtan movement personally, there was never a dull moment. There were always surprises. There was always an edginess because Prabhupada demanded so much. And the devotees who lived on that edge made very rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness and were always praying to Krishna because there was nothing else you could do. But that same mood devotees can take up by dedicating themselves, especially to this legacy of book distribution, as this is the legacy that comes from Krishna. Actually, if you look at a picture of Lord Brahma, you'll notice that he's holding a book in his hand. Does that make any sense to you? On one level, it seems crazy because there were no books back then, right? We know that. But on another level, we are called the Sampradaya of the book, and therefore our Gaudiya artists, when they depict Lord Brahma, they show him, and you'll notice on the cover of the Brahma Samhita, he's holding a book in his hand. We are called the Sampradaya of the book. And I'll talk more about that later. Prabhupada asks us to impregnate the world with this spiritual knowledge, just like the communists, he noted, were very successful in spreading their ideology through literature. There are other organizations, by the way, that know this secret and are doing a better job than we are. For instance, Watchtower. You know who that is? The Jehovah's Witnesses? You don't know the Jehovah's Witnesses? Well, you do. Okay, Watchtower. They're a Christian group. They're in 239 countries, 595 languages, 46 million copies per month. That's what you can do with a little organization. You're not going to let them get ahead of Pune, are you? ISKCON Pune. You can do these kind of numbers here in Pune, can't you? Say yes. Possible words is a word in a fool's dictionary, right? What's that? Watchtower is free, yeah. Yeah, they do it for free. So there's the Bible and the Gideon's group, 196 countries, 93 languages. In 2012, 84.6 million copies. By 2015, 2 billion will have been distributed. Here's Time Magazine, which prints all kinds of nonsense. And their circulation, 2012, is 3 million plus. It's more than we do for BTG. So this is the power. It comes in the direct order. Prabhupada writes this in the Bhagavatam. The direct order of the Lord is a manifestation of his internal energy. And this particular energy is the means of seeing the Lord face to face. In other words, when Krishna or his representative gives an order or a request, anyone in the world is free to pick it up. You can pick up that order and you can dedicate your life to it. And what happens then? You become instantly connected to the internal energy of the Lord. Because there's no difference between the order and the Lord himself. And so this instruction is there. Prabhupada actually asked, so kindly help me, this is my request. So this is a great boon. When the pure devotee and acharya makes a request, kindly help me, if you simply then inquire, how can I help? What can I do? Please let me do something to help you. Then you become connected. I want that all of you, my students, shall vigorously try for this book distribution. So it's not some imagination that Prabhupada was vigorously trying for book distribution. It's an order he got from his spiritual master, and he passed it on regularly to his disciples and asked them to expand book distribution. Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, there's no servant more dear than one who passes on the message. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave this open order that everyone should become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in the land. So there it is. It's open for everyone. Open orders, they're connected to they are a product of the internal energy, and anyone who takes them up will become advanced. So here's how we present book distribution. It's high sadhana. Because anyone who takes it up, and Prabhupada said this, simply by the attempt, if you just try to do it, you don't have to be an expert, you don't have to do huge, but if you just try, then you'll get superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. That's Prabhupada's words. He said, if you just make the attempt, you'll get superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. If you make the attempt, what will you get? Spiritual strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. So this book distribution is a rapid way to make spiritual advancement. Very quickly, by hearing and chanting diligently and going out to just try to distribute books, you'll make advancement very quickly, the path of devotional service. And now I'm going to go on to the next section, but before I do, I'll take a few reflections. That is, anything that you heard so far that's stuck in your mind. One idea, thought, inspiration that you had from hearing this section. Okay.
The literatures are distributed, they are like injecting this Krishna consciousness into the blood of people. So Prabhupada insisted on distributing these literatures, so people would read it and they would become Krishna consciousness. Like you told about this one organization is trying to distribute 46 million books a month.
Yep.
So like that we should also try to distribute.
Yeah, very true. Thank you very much. Good one.
What you told Prabhuji, that this is our legacy and this is the order of the spiritual master and the acharya. That's why the mercy will become quick. We get a quick mercy.
When you fulfill thick mercy.
Quick mercy.
Quick and thick.
Both. When you follow the order of the acharyas.
Yeah, that's a fact. Good points. Yeah. 1, 2.
Prabhuji, you mentioned backed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, it's a whole backing. If we are trying to follow the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he's himself backing us up for doing that.
Yeah, that's right. Good point.
As soon as we accept the order of the spiritual master, the empowerment is there. Just like Rameshwar Swami Prabhu was empowered as soon as he accepted Srila Prabhupada's instruction.
Yeah, Krishna will give the intelligence how to do it. If you ask for it, if you have that desire, he'll empower you. Not to worry. Just try. A few more.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. You said the holy name is more merciful than Krishna. So which actually struck my mind. So we should actually also go for the door-to-door selling, like you said, the example of Amway. They sell the products of...
And the example of Nityananda Prabhu and all his associates. They used to go door to door. They'd knock on people's doors and ask them to chant the holy names. And sometimes he'd roll on the floor. You can try that too.
Yeah.
Actually, we've done that. You know, when we go to people's doors and we get on our hands and knees and we just pray until... I told devotees they should try it. And I went around and I saw they were doing it. They get on their knees and please, please take it. There was a devotee named Buddhimanta who used to do that. He would do anything to get people to take a book. He would get on his knees and beg them. They'd go, all right, I'll buy the book. Just get up, that's all. It's important. We have to try, yes. And Matajis, you have to make some reflections. Because traditionally, the Matajis have been some of the biggest book distributors in the world, in ISKCON. So you have to participate.
When we dedicate our life for the instructions and the orders, we immediately come under internal potency.
That's right. That's a brilliant formula. Anyone can keep that in mind, to just take the order and then follow it. Yes, Preekishori.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the process of Krishna consciousness is just two parts of chanting Hare Krishna and teaching it to others, and we should vigorously try for it.
Chant Hare Krishna? Teach others. Part one? Part two? Part two? Part two? Part one? Part two? Simple, right?
Amazingly, that nothing is impossible. Everything is possible if we make a goal, if we have a belief and faith, everything is possible.
Yeah, we say that even a lame man can cross a mountain, even a blind man can see the stars in the sky by getting that mercy of the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right?
And we have so many examples that there is no doubt that everything is possible.
Yes. That's a very exhilarating lifestyle, is to take shelter of Krishna and try to perform his work and then depend on him. Very good. Okay, now I'm going to show you the next section, which is called the Four Laws of Book Distribution. Now, by following these laws, then, first of all, you'll stay out of jail, and you'll also be very successful in book distribution. If you follow these four laws, it doesn't matter where you are, you'll excel in book distribution, I guarantee it. So the first law of book distribution is that your sadhana must be strong. Please say. Number two is you must get books. Number three is the more you show, the more you sell. And number four is you must organize. Okay, so first is your sadhana must be strong. Because we're actually distributing the overflow of what we get ourselves. You can't distribute what you don't have. And you won't even be interested in distributing books unless your sadhana is strong. You'd think maybe sell something else. So three words Prabhupada used, not in combination, but in various places. I just strung them together on a little garland. But he said, your sadhana should be strict, serious, and sincere. I go into more detail in this book about what is strict, serious, and sincere sadhana. But if you study the science of sadhana, and you're very strict, very serious, very sincere, then you get a taste. It's actually your duty to get a taste. You have to try for it. You have to get perform inspirational sadhana every day. Not automatic sadhana. Not courtesy sadhana, but you actually have to try very hard, diligently, to get a taste. You have to pray with your hand out. We sang this morning, just for the Guru Puja, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you have to pray and beg. You have to beg. Why do beggars beg? Because they get stuff. It actually works. If you go around and beg, you'll find that people will give you things. And have you ever given to a beggar? Anybody? Why did you give? Because they asked. And if you don't beg, if you don't ask, you don't get. So you have to beg. Harinam Mahamantra Lao Tumi Magi. Magi means you have to beg, you have to ask for it. So this has to be very intensive to get a taste. And you shouldn't go away without a taste. Just tell Krishna, I'm not going to eat. I mean, this is Rukmini said. If I won't get your mercy, life after life, I'll perform austerities. And I'll give up one body after another until I get your mercy. So we have to have that kind of intensity. And then from the taste, you'll have overflow. Because one drop of taste, if you do one mantra with full intensity, and you feel some taste from chanting, means you don't want to be anywhere else. And from there, you'll be able to inundate the entire city of Pune. With one person, with some a tiny drop of taste, one molecule of taste, can inundate all of Pune. Actually, it can inundate all of Maharashtra. Actually, one molecule of taste, a person with one molecule of taste, can inundate all of India. No, all of India and all of Europe. And then it will spread across the ocean and then all of North America. Then where else will it go? Where? Africa. One molecule of taste from chanting Hare Krishna strictly, seriously, sincerely, it'll go all the way past, cover the continent of Africa and where else? Australia and where else? Don't forget Antarctica. There's Eskimos up there, I think. It'll go everywhere. One drop of taste. Our whole process is based on this strict, serious, and sincere sadhana. When devotees have a taste, they become extremely valuable. You can go to Chandi Chowk in Old Delhi, and there's a little place there called Gulab Singh, where he sells essential oils. You can buy some musk there that costs $20,000 for a little bottle. But if you go there and you ask him, you give me one little drop of sincerity, he won't be able to provide it for you. You have to provide that. And if you can get just one drop of sincerity and chant like that, you get some taste, then you can spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. So in strict, serious, and sincere sadhana, you have to read the Gita. Gita has been commentated on by all the great acharyas. So the devotees who are strict, serious, and sincere, they love the Gita. They read the Gita every day, at least one chapter a day. At least you have to say the verses every day. It takes only 7.5 minutes average to say one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. At least the Sanskrit or the English. And Prabhupada encouraged all the devotees, at least one chapter a day. And we have an organization, a worldwide underground secret organization. It's called CHAD. That's the code. Everyone say CHAD. CHAD. It's a secret. But it's called Chapter a Day. And this chapter a day means you can join the organization and all you have to do is agree to chant at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. It means just the Sanskrit or the English, but you have to at least do that every day to stay as a member in CHAD. And then we have Be a Sage page by page. Our app is with Apple right now. It'll become, and once it's approved, it'll be out in 2 weeks, but we have a special card, an index card, that shows all the books Prabhupada produced, and it tells how many pages each one has. And then it tells you how many pages a day you must read in order to finish each one of those books within a given amount of time. For instance, did you know that if you read just 8 pages a day, you'll read the whole Bhagavatam in just 5 years, all 12 cantos? Is that good enough? Say no. Say no, Vaisheshika. It's not good enough for me. I want to read it faster. Could you say that, please? Come on. No, Vaisheshika Das. That's not good enough for me. I want to read it faster. Please say it. Okay. For you, then, you can read 41 pages a day. It takes an average of 56 minutes a day, and you will finish the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, all 12 cantos, in just 1 year. How do you think you'd feel if you finished the whole? Just imagine the day you announce to all your friends and family all over the world, I just finished the full Bhagavatam, all 12 cantos, in 1 year. What would you do then? You'd probably have a cupcake or something to celebrate. Because that is something to really celebrate, finishing the whole Bhagavatam. So this is what Prabhupada meant when he talked about strict, serious, sincere sadhana. You have to be absorbed in reading the books and making sure that you're on a schedule to finish them. Someone wakes you up at 1 o'clock in the morning. They come in and they shake you on your mat and they say, okay, when are you going to finish the Bhagavatam? What date are you going to tell them? Do you have a date in your mind? When you'll finish the Bhagavatam? In 1 year, he's volunteered to do 41 pages a day. Give him a hand. A little more than that. It's a big deal. Come on. More. My point is, you should know. You should calculate this. You should have it on the back of your hand, how many pages and what the date is when you're going to finish. I know when I'm going to finish the Bhagavatam because I'm on a schedule. And I feel very happy about it. And I keep up the schedule every day. And this it means that you stay constantly in contact with Srila Prabhupada and with Krishna through the Bhagavatam, through the Bhagavad Gita. Strict, serious, and sincere. So the first law of book distribution is what? Your sadhana must be strong, say. Okay, here's the second law of book distribution. You must get books. And here I'm going to teach you how to say it like this. Have you ever been in the military or heard about what they do in the military? When you join the boot camp, they teach you how to say, how to address the officer. So if he asks you a question and you say yes, you say, sir, yes, sir. Everyone say that. Okay, the way you did it there, you'd be all kicked out of the military. Wasn't enthusiastic enough. So are you going to distribute books? Okay, getting closer. So now with the number two law of book distribution, when I ask you what number two is, and you see that you say, get books, but you say it in military already. What's the number two?
Get books.
Oh, no, that wasn't good enough. You'll be kicked out. Okay, what's the number two law of book distribution?
Get books.
Number two law of book distribution?
Get books.
Okay, very good. This is very scientific, the reason behind this. We have taken this project to many universities all over the world. And what we found is that you can't distribute books you don't have. Practically, it's a law of thermodynamics. It's impossible to distribute books you don't have. Therefore, it's highly recommended you get books because it's a miracle. These books 500 years ago were imprinted on palm leaves. Each book had to be painstakingly copied by hand. Now we have high-speed printing, but we can't take it for granted. We have to understand that this is a miracle, that we have the books of the Goswamis, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most esoteric and poetical literature in the world, which is non-different from Krishna himself, and we have it. So we should make sure that we have these books, and as soon as you have books, then you'll feel empowered to distribute them. And there are books in many different languages. When I was just in Bombay yesterday, we met with the devotees there who are going out at least once a month. They're devotees who live outside the temple, but they come together once a month for what they call the Monthly Sankirtan Festival, MSF. Everyone say MSF. And they go out together and they just try to distribute books because by just trying you get superior strength and knowledge and Krishna consciousness. And they told me that they have various language books too. They have books in Arabic. They have books in Chinese. Do you have that here? Do you have Chinese speaking people in Pune? Five Chinese devotees? But is there any Chinese population here? I'll bet you do. I'll bet there's Chinese in every city in the world. Is there a Chinese restaurant here? Come on, you can get some chop suey here somewhere. There's Chinese everywhere. They're all over the world, and you're going to meet them as soon as you get the books. I mean, be prepared. Always have books with you, and bring them out, because you'll find these people in various places. Now, all you have to do to distribute to people in different languages, by the way, is just learn a word or two in their own language. And you can also carry with you a little card like this one in Vietnamese. Chung toi dang tang, toi nyang shach. And it explains to them in their own language why they should give a donation. Kami ai tumutulung samangatang mahihirap sanamung bikekainu konting tulung. That was in Tagalog, they speak in the Philippines. You can learn a little bit in each language and present. Here I am at a mall in California, but it's all Vietnamese mall. Because I had books in Vietnamese, they were very happy to have me sit down, and they each bought a book. And here's a man I met from Pakistan. Do you ever meet anybody from Pakistan? He was a Muslim mullah. And when I saw him, I said, Salam alaikum, alaikum salam, madhava kifilak, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And he said, do you pray? I said, yes, every day. He said, how many times? I said, 16 times. And he came over and he gave me a big hug. And then I showed him the book in Farsi. And he wanted to know where all the other Farsi books were. And he gave a donation for this book. And that book is sitting somewhere in Pakistan right now, burning a hole in somebody's pocket. This literature crosses borders. It can actually change a whole culture by the written word, because books are containers and they hold desire, they hold idea seeds. And when the containers go out in the world and they spill out, then the ideas enter into the minds and hearts of the living entities there. And living entities are known as tatasta. That means they're open to suggestion. They can change their mind very easily. All they have to do is come in contact with the right ideas. And so by mass distribution of books, cultures are changed. For instance, you might know that people have heard of the theory of evolution, right? Where did they hear about it from? Where did it come from? It came from a book. Darwin wrote a book. What's it called? Anybody have a copy in your ashram? At home? No. Anybody read it? No. Have you heard of evolution? Yes. Why? Because he wrote it in a book and the idea seeds spilled out all over the world. Now people know about evolution. There are many ideological movements around the world. They all come from books. People compile them, they put it in books. Nations have been subjected to revolution, like America. Thomas Paine wrote a pamphlet, which is the best-selling booklet per capita of any other book in the world. And it was called Common Sense. He sold it to everybody in the colonies. And Americans, after reading the book, rose up and had a revolution. That's why there's an America today. It's because of the written word. There's a long list. I can go on. I have another presentation. It's all about the book itself and why it's so potent in the world. It's called The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword. But suffice it to say, when you get books, you're actually holding the destiny of the world in your hands, the destiny of Krishna consciousness in your hands. Because when these books go out, the idea seeds that are within the books will spill out in people's minds and hearts. The only problem is we lack volume. We need to do more. More book distribution. It needs to be on a high, on a more spectacular level. And it has its effect. Every book has its effect. So number one is? And the number two, we always say military. What's the number two? Okay, and here's number three. And this is one we don't say military, but we always say it twice. The more you show, the more you sell. Please say it twice.
The more you show, the more you sell. The more you show, the more you sell.
Correct. So now, when you show little jiva anything, because little jiva is open to suggestion. That's what tatasta means. Tatasta means marginal. It means little jiva is wandering around the universe, just looking around at stuff, loitering. Doesn't know what he's doing. And so when little jiva looks around and he sees advertisements here in Pune, what is he going to see? Is he going to see an advertisement for Coca-Cola? Do you have Coca-Cola here? I saw some Coca-Cola here. Do they sell Coca-Cola in Pune? Do they advertise for Coca-Cola? Did little jiva buy a bottle of Coca-Cola and drink it? Yes, little jiva does. Why does little jiva drink a bottle of Coca-Cola? Because little jiva saw a sign that said, drink a Coca-Cola and you'll be happy. In fact, the advertisement in America says, open a bottle of happiness. And it shows a bottle of Coca-Cola. So little jiva goes and he buys a bottle of Coca-Cola and he brings it home. And every cell in his body says, don't put that in me, in here. That stuff's poison. You're going to kill me. But little jiva says, no, I saw it. It was on an advertisement and it said, open a bottle of happiness. I'm going to drink it. So little jiva drinks down a bottle of Coca-Cola. What else does little jiva buy? Tons of stuff. Cigarettes, liquor. I mean, it's unbelievable what little jiva will do. And it's just because he's open suggestion. So in the same way, we take out the holy names. We take out the Bhagavad Gita, and we show little Jiva and say, little Jiva, come over here for a second. I want to show you something. And you say, look at this. And little Jiva looks at the book, and then you say, Jiva, this is a little box of happiness. You take this home, and you'll be happy. And little Jiva goes, okay, I'll try it. He takes it home. And the more times we do that, the more people become exposed to Krishna consciousness. They start to take to it. It's in our hands. It's our legacy. And the more you show it, the more little Jiva will take it. So you just have to invent ways. We have these tables we put out on the street. And these two girls in college there, they just came over and started looking at it. Here's policemen buying books. Everyone will come over and buy books. This one Mataji in Mayapur, fired up all the time, just has a table outside and people come over. At events, you can show books. This is one of the events they're probably working right now. It's called the Pumpkin Festival. You'll notice that the books are the same color, so it works well there. And there, people just come to celebrate the month of October, and they buy many thousands of Bhagavad Gitas. And the reason they do is because the devotees take the time to show them. And if you show them, you're going to find living entities wandering around who are interested in taking them. And also placing books in institutions like prisons. And actually, I visited a devotee in prison recently. His new name, he's in prison for life, no possibility of parole. But he became a devotee 10 years ago because he read one of Prabhupada's books. Now, he's chanting 64 rounds a day and is very serious about devotional service. So I went in the prison to visit him. And when I was riding out with the chaplain said, you know, he's affecting a lot of people in here. And he said, I think we need some more Bhagavad Gitas. I said, how many do you need? We can supply them. He said, at least 50. 50 of the inmates have started to chant. Because of placement of Bhagavad Gitas in prisons, people start to read them, and then they realize their goal in life. And people who are previously criminals, they become soft-hearted devotees, dedicate their life. You know the story of Magrari, right? These books change people's lives. And here's another device called the Smart Box. Everyone say Smart Box.
Smart Box.
Yeah, it's a smart box because once you set it up, little Jiva will walk along and see the books, and then they'll take the books and put the money in the box and they'll walk home with a book. And I saw just when we were in Bombay that Nartam Priya has a designer and they designed some of these boxes for India and they're going to start putting them out in a couple of weeks all around Bombay to see how it goes. But we have about, in our town, we have about 150 of these boxes out that very conveniently distribute books while you're asleep. You can be somewhere else taking rest and the books will go on. So if you feel like you're lazy, intelligent type and you like to do this kind of book distribution, you can put smart boxes. Then go home, have a little lassi and relax and go to sleep. And while you're sleeping, the books will be distributed. Smart table. And Prabhupada said that every respectable gentleman should have a set of books. And one of the greatest salesmen in the world said, whatever you sell, you should sell in bunches like bananas. If you can sell one, you can sell a bunch. So look at this. These are the greatest fruits in the world. And they're all packaged together. Just a few years ago, the devotees in America started racking their brains about how to sell sets of books. And all they did was start showing them to people. Every time they'd meet somebody, they'd say, do you have a set of Bhagavatams? And they'd bring it up. And after a while, they started selling books. And last year, they sold over 500 sets of Bhagavatams just walking around. And can you do it here in Pune too? Absolutely. How would you do it here in Pune? Which law would you follow? Law or laws would you follow? First of all, your sadhana would be very strong because you decide I have to do this. I have to become very serious about my sadhana. So you'd follow law number one, right? What's the next law you would follow? A little more, come on, try it again. Okay, and what's the third law you'd try? I was at a Rath Yatra with Vijay Prabhu in Los Angeles, and we had a book booth there, and a lot of people coming off the beach, they were just buying Bhagavad Gita small books, and Vijay had a full set of Bhagavatam set up. And every time he'd ask somebody, do you have the Gita? And they say, yeah. And he goes, you should have the Bhagavatam. And he was there for about an hour. And every time someone said, he kept pointing to the Bhagavatam set. And I thought, ah, nobody's going to buy a Bhagavatam set. It's the beach. And then I got busy. I turned around about 5 minutes later, and the Bhagavatam set was gone. I said, Vijay, where's the Bhagavatam set? He said, I just sold it. I said, how'd you do that? He said, I just kept pointing to it. And someone said, okay, I'll take it. And that's how you do it. The more you show, the more you sell. And if you don't show it, no one's going to take it. If you leave it in the box in the basement, then no one will take it. But if you bring it out and you just find out ways to display it and you just keep pointing to it and say, yeah, you should take that. You should just 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 take that. Finally, somebody, all right, I'll take it. Because little Jiva is open to suggestion. Because he's Tatasta. He doesn't know where he's going. He's just loitering here in the material world. He's wandering around. He has no idea. That's why he buys Coca-Cola and everything else. Because everyone says, hey, little Jiva, you should take this. You should take this. You should take this. He goes, all right, I'll take it. That's the problem. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's agents have to be out and about and showing people, no, no, Jiva, come over here. Take this. This is what you really need. So any of these things are all possible. It's just a matter of organizing. Oh, here we are. And now I want you to notice the red arrow pointing to a set of books we just placed in a family's home. First of all, they didn't want to let us in because they knew we were up to something. But finally they let us in, which was a big mistake. And we pulled out the Bhagavatam in their house and we just started glorifying the Bhagavatam and what it would do for them. And finally they had a conference and the grandmother came out and everyone said, okay, we'll take it. Then they had a problem. They said, where are we going to put it? Because most people have so much junk in their house, they don't know where to put it, a Bhagavatam set. And that's how Krishna consciousness works too. It's a Narta Nivritti. You have to move stuff out of the way. That's the main reason people don't want a Bhagavatam set. It's not because they can't afford it, because everyone can afford it. But, I mean, even homeless people can buy a Bhagavatam set. It's so inexpensive. But the reason they don't buy it is because they have to figure out a place to put it in their house. And that means they have to show their value system that they're actually keeping all these books. And when someone comes to their house said, hey, wait a minute, what's all these books doing here? And they go, they'll have to admit, they say, all right, I'm a Hare Krishna. Now it's come to light, I'm a Hare Krishna. And that's what they're worried about, really. So when they take a set of Bhagavatams, they actually surrender. And it's the most wonderful thing in the world to see. So on that shelf, we had to move out all kinds of video games. They had video games, they had stupid nonsense books. No one has any business reading anyway. They had hairbrushes and cans of all kinds of stuff. And we just moved it out. We cleaned off the shelf. We said, here, don't you feel better? And look at them now. Don't they look like they're happy? You could do that favor for people. Take the Bhagavatam set, move out the hairbrushes, the video games, the cans of stuff they're never going to use anyway, and put in a Bhagavatam set. And next thing you know, they'll become devotees just by the powerful influence of those books in their home. Look, and I heard Navina when we were talking about exotic cities. He said, did you say Morocco? Or you said Mongolia? Morocco. Here's a guy from Morocco. He's a Muslim. And we were knocking on doors, or rather I should say Shraddha Devi Dasi was knocking on doors. And this Moroccan guy comes to the door. He's a Muslim. And she showed him the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita because we said, look, if we can sell Bhagavatams, we could sell Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he said, how do you do it? The devotees want to know how do you do it. And I said, just show them and tell them that it's the most esoteric spiritual book on the planet and just show it to them. And so she just showed it to him and he said, okay, I'm interested. So this Moroccan Muslim fellow bought a full set of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's sitting in his house right now. And how do you do that? The more you show, the more you sell. You just got to keep showing, that's all. We have a little instructional how to sell a full set of Srimad Bhagavatams right there at your tiny URL, sb-sell. And here we are, the complete library. You can even escalate a little bit. We put together all the books plus all the lectures. We put together Madanga, a little altar, cookbooks, songbooks, everything all complete. 64 books, 388 lectures, thousands of hours of inspiration, drums and everything like that. And then we even throw in the bookcase. We get the bookcases. It's all included in the price. It was about $1,008 to buy the whole thing. Do people buy them? Come on. Do people buy them? You know where this is going, right? Yes, they do buy them. Why? Go ahead. The more you show, the more you sell. You always say it twice. That is correct. And so they're ready for life. And boy, that's like, this is the nuclear option. You bring these in, the full set of everything, and you put it in their house, and they're changed forever. People really want them. Here's Motel Gita. We're putting Gitas in motels. And over 250,000 Gitas placed now in motel rooms. So number four law is... you must organize, because you can do a little bit of book distribution if you treat it like a hobby. But if you really want to get serious and build an empire of book distribution, which is really a good idea, especially if you happen to have about 1,000 brahmacharis and about 4,500 congregational members who are fired up and happen to be in the same area, it's a good idea to build an empire of book distribution. So all you have to do is organize. And there are a lot of principles for organization, but one I like the best is brainstorming. Just get together with those who are interested and start talking about the ways in which that you're going to do it. And schedule something. We have what we call the monthly Sankirtan Festival that's going in many countries around the world now, where devotees from the congregation come together, and once a month they all go out for book distribution. And they don't worry about the result. It's all for one and one for all. No pressure on anybody. Everyone acts as a team. But the main point is it's for self-purification. It's high sadhana. So all the devotees pick a date, and in a very organized way, they go out together to various spots, and they just try to distribute books together. And the results are phenomenal. They make goals. Yes, so that's a calendar I showed from 2010. We started doing an exercise at the beginning of the year where we would mark off all the MSFs for the year ahead of time. That way we'd know when they were. And we also give each one of them a special name, and we make a poster for each one of them, and we put it up in the temple as we're building up for that event. So everybody knows MSF is coming. And we announce it when we're talking at Sunday programs or any other programs, say the MSF is coming. And then, for instance, on a Saturday, everyone would get together like we're going to do tomorrow. And we'll have a little briefing in the morning. And then we'll all go out together just for a few hours to see what it's like to participate directly in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And then everyone comes back together, has prasadam, and discusses what happened. Just like the six Goswamis. What's that? 7 days in 1 month? Yeah. Well, our MSFs get a little out of hand. And that's another thing that happens. You start with 1 day, and then the devotees say, that's not enough. We want to do 2 days. And then they say, that's not enough. Then they say, we want to do it every weekend. And they say, oh, all right, go ahead. You can do it every weekend if you like. So devotees start... some of the MSFs are much more densely participated within than others. So yeah, it grows. But at least you start with 1 day a month, 2 days a month, something like that. It's a place to start from. And this is part of the organization, making goals. In North America, we experimented with this so we could export it. And over the last several years, we've had a 200% increase in book distribution by using these simple methods and propagating the four laws of book distribution. These are some congregational members just in their homes. They set up Sankirtan, what we call Sankirtan Central. They start storing the books, and people can come, and it becomes a hub where they can go out and distribute books in their communities. And they take good care of the Lakshmi as it's coming in. They use all kinds of devices. This is part of organization, so they can take donations on their smartphones. PayPal has one. There's also Square. and things like that. You have to utilize all these things. Reporting scores of the Sankirtan newsletter. And here's a look at the monthly Sankirtan festival. Devotees going out from the congregation and having fun together. And starts in the morning, have breakfast, a little training, going out on a street Sankirtan and lunch and nectar stories together. Simple and easy. Fun for the whole family. So we make it fun. We emphasize teamwork, create fresh challenges for the devotees each time, and encourage everybody. Encourage the heck out of everybody. It's a culture of encouragement. And empower people. When devotees come forward that are interested in doing it, give them some empowerment. We have mission, vision, and we take time to chart things out. So these are a few pictures from Toronto. Devotees going out together and distributing books. They've had phenomenal success there, just having the monthly Sankirtan festival, the congregation, and they've grown it to now they're distributing tens of thousands of books every month. Just last month, they distributed 50 Bhagavatam sets. And before that, they had only done two in a month. And then they decided they wanted to try selling Bhagavatam sets, so they put a lot of effort into it, and they sold 50 sets. So basically, through organization and concentration, they're able to have this success. So we emphasize teamwork, everyone working together, and start small, and then you can grow your organization into something, really. So now I'll take a few. Either you can give a question, if you have any questions about the MSF or any of the concepts I've said, or a reflection, anything that you heard that stuck in your mind.
Just wanted to know, generally we go every month out for book distribution in bus party. So generally Prabhupada had said that quote we know where Prabhupada says, by hook or crook distribute my books. So what is the exactly meaning what Prabhupada wanted, and what are the limits what we should not cross, or what are the ways we should not do also?
We should leave everyone with a good impression. This is our prime directive, that leave everyone with a good impression. And whether they take a book or don't take a book, they should walk away feeling like they met a sadhu, and they should feel happy. And if you stay in that zone of leaving everyone with a good impression, then you'll be in the right space. And by hook or by crook means that you should become expert. It means that you should learn to understand what people's motivations are and be able to present in such a way that they'll be interested in taking the book. So it requires a little finesse and practice to know how to satisfy people's needs, interests, and concerns, and do it in a way that they're happy. It requires using the austerities of speech, being truthful, speaking words that are beneficial, pleasing, like that. Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
Prabhuji, one point you said, ki the more you show, the more you sell. So in the beginning, sometimes you may fear to go out and show the books to the people who are there outside. But once we start showing the books like Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book, and once they start getting interest, and then we also get encouraged to go out, you know, on, you know, daily basis and distribute more and more books. So this principle which you said was very important for me, ki the more we go out and show the books to others, they will get inspired, and we also get inspired with them. Thank you.
Yeah, nice point. Thank you very much. Good. Yes, Brahmachari in the back.
Thank you for such a wonderful class, Prabhu. Prabhu, my question is, we can see in the Lilamrut that Prabhupada is talking about Tripurari. We see him as an incarnation of book distribution. So could you throw some light about what was his secret so that, you know?
Yeah, well, Tripurari, now Tripurari Maharaj, he took sannyas from Prabhupada in 1975. He's kept his sannyas all these years. he was very attentive to what Prabhupada said about distributing books. He took it to heart, and he went out and tried. He went out first by himself. He'd go out with the chanting party, and he'd chant for a while, and then he would start presenting books, and Krishna started revealing to him how to sell more and more books. And it caught on in the Los Angeles community, and then he went different places around America, Australia, London, to show people how to sell books. And he started a party called the BBT Party and helped to expand book distribution. So Prabhupada liked that, and he appreciated that kind of work that he was doing. He also specifically emphasized on his party the studying of Prabhupada's books, not just selling them, but reading them very intensely. Two more? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, can you please tell when you go for street one-to-one book distribution, what do you speak to them? How do you attract them to take books?
First, I have to make a conscious connection with people. So I look for their eyes, because you can see consciousness through their eyes. It's expressed through people's eyes. And when I see people, I say hello to them. I say hi. Try that. Hold up your hand. Point it at somebody and say hi.
Hi.
And when you do that, you'll notice that there's a response, because there's a living entity on the other side that can respond. And sometimes people respond by just looking away. Sometimes people will ignore you. Other times people will smile. Other times people will say hi back. Other times people say, hi, how are you? They'll even speak something. And because I'm watching them, I'm judging what their response is, I can understand what their state of consciousness is. And I compare it to using a radar gun. Policemen use this to shoot your car and understand how fast you're driving, because the ray goes out, touches the car, and it comes back. So a similar way, you have a little ray gun on your hand, and you can point it at somebody. Hi. See, he waved back, because he's a devotee, and he's has a pure heart. And when you meet people, hi. See, and if you just practice that, making conscious connection with people wherever you go, just get in a habit, hi, like that. You'll notice that people look back at you. And then after somebody says hi, when I see that they're a little bit open, then I ask them a question. I call this a qualifying question. And for instance, a question could be, I'm from San Francisco, where are you from? And they say, I'm from Pune. And they go, you're from Pune? Perfect. I'll show you this too. And then I show them the book, and I use the word show, and I put it in their hand. And then I tell them a little bit about the book, what it's in it for them. For instance, in presenting a Bhagavad Gita, I'll say, these are books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. Then I ask them a question, because questions hold people in place. Question mark is the most powerful punctuation mark in any language. And when you ask somebody a question, you hold the conversation in place, or you move it in the direction you want to go. So I ask people, you've heard of stress, right? And people say, yes, I've heard of stress. I feel very stressed. Or they say, no, it doesn't matter either way. Whatever they say, it still works with the presentation. Say, yeah, of course I've heard of stress. And I say, really? Because you actually look very peaceful. In fact, you look spiritual. What's your secret? Ask them another question. And when I ask them, what's your secret? Then they start to, well, you know, I... according to the mode of nature they're in, they'll give some answer. And they say, oh, I could tell. And then I say, yeah, I knew you were into this. Then I take the book back. I show them a little bit about, for instance, the Bhagavad Gita. I explain to them how great scholars have read this book, and then I show it's used in the universities. I show them the pictures and explain it. For instance, with the changing bodies, how we're just passing through. And I show them that a self-realized person treats everyone with respect because she sees, he or she sees that God's within everyone's heart. And then in the Yellow Gita, there's a picture of the yogi with the soul coming out of his head. You know that picture? I ask people, what do you do professionally? And they'll say, what? I'm an engineer. And they say, what kind of engineer are you? Software engineer. And then I open to this picture of the yogi and I say, really, this guy used to be a software engineer. And then they laugh. And when they're laughing, then I hand the book back and I say, we don't sell it like in a bookstore. We take a donation. We don't need the money. But it's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. And then they give a donation. And right after they give a donation, I say, do you believe in the power of prayer? And they say, yes. If they say no, I say, great, I'll give you a mantra instead. And so when they say, yes, I believe in the power of prayer, I give them a Hare Krishna mantra. I say, please repeat, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna
Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
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 Rama
Rama.
Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare.
And then I give them some prasadam. Because carrying around prasadam wherever you go is our secret weapon. And then I get their name if they're interested and put them on our mailing list. And then I thank them for taking their valuable time because our prime directive is to leave everyone with a good impression. So that's basically how we approach people in the West. When I meet Indians, I don't hand them a Bhagavad Gita because they already know the Bhagavad Gita. Their mothers read the Bhagavad Gita. Their grandmother memorized the Bhagavad Gita. So instead of handing over a Bhagavad Gita to an Indian, like when we're going door to door, they see that I have books in my hand, but I just talk to them. And I say, you already know Bhagavad Gita, but I'll tell you what we're doing. We're spreading Bhagavad Gita all over the world, and we're starting Bhagavad Gita schools, and we're putting them in hospitals and libraries to spread world peace, because don't you agree there's too much contention, one party against the other in the world these days and so forth. I say, but what we're doing is a fundraiser. We ask for money. We collect money. They very much appreciate that. Then they'll give money. Then I give them the Bhagavad Gita. They don't mind. Otherwise, when I hand over a Bhagavad Gita to an Indian, then I say, this is not for you, as I'm handing it to them. This is not for you. And they say, they're about to grab it, and they go, what do you mean, it's not for me? It says, not for you, because you already know the Bhagavad Gita, your mother knows the Bhagavad Gita, your grandmother memorized the Bhagavad Gita. And I hand them the book, I took away all their arguments, and then I say, this is for you to give to somebody else. Someone else already paid for this for you to take, and you can pay for someone else to pass on the next one to somebody else. And innovative ways you have to find, but the main thing is make a conscious connection with people. And there are many, many, these are just a few templates that you can use, but there are lots of templates that you'll learn when you go out to present. And if you're just straightforward and meet people, and also look for ripe fruits, you don't have to convince everybody, but if you find people who are open and sincere and you just look for them and let the other people go, then you'll have an easy time of it. Just like when you pick fruits from a tree, you pick the ripe fruits and you leave the unripe fruits on the vine, right? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Correct. So we've come to the end of our time, but we covered a few points about legacy of the book distribution, which comes all the way from Krishna to Brahma down to us. And we talked about a few ways in which we can organize ourselves and follow the four laws of book distribution. Thank you for your time. Hare Krishna. Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Hey! Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.